I want to read the scriptures, Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1 to verse 7, and then I will also read Psalm 24, verse 7 to 10. Remember, this is the month of open door, reign, uplifted kingdom glory. Uplifted kingdom glory. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1 to 7, and Psalm 24, verse 7 to 10. Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations then will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you, all assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters are carried on the hip. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. The wealth on the seas will be brought to you. To you the riches of the nations will come. Herds of camels will cover your land, your camels of Midian and Ephah. And all from Sheba will come bearing gold and incense and proclaiming the praise of the Lord. All Kedar's flocks will be gathered to you. The rams of Nebaoth will serve you. They will be accepted as offerings on my altar, and I will adorn my glorious temple. And God's people say, amen. Now, Psalm chapter 24, verse 7 to 10, there is a scripture that Pastor Felista quoted while she was praying here. Psalm 24, verse 7 to verse 10. Lift up you heads, you gates, be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, you gates, lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this? Who is he, this King of glory? The Lord Almighty. And let's finish that sentence together. He is the King of glory. Let's give a hand to him. He is the King of glory. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that you give us a wonderful and a blessed time, even as we interact around your word. In Jesus' name we pray. And we all say, amen. Amen. We may have our seats. Once again, we thank God for each one of us who has come for the service today. You are here for the first time. Blessings upon you. And also thank God for those who are following the service online, here and around the world. I know Pastor Ambrose is following and really appreciate that he's doing much better by the day. We spent time Thursday afternoon together, and I can tell you he's getting better by the day. Now we're beginning to discuss his coming back. And so you'll see him showing up again and again. Last Sunday, he was here, second service, and he was able to share his journey. And I believe next Sunday, Pastor Ambrose, I believe as we talked, you remember, next Sunday you show up first service and stay a little longer. Why don't we appreciate Pastor Ambrose once again? Thank you. God bless you. And together with him, there are many people following the service online around the world. Some are in their homes, others are in hotels, others probably in hospitals, different venues, but following this service. And we want to release a blessing upon them right away by giving a hand clap and appreciating all of you who are following this service around the world. We really want to thank God for the chance and opportunity to share God's word together. There's a young man called Ian whom I have discipled. I've been spending time with him. Ian, are you in the house? Ian, he just graduated from the university, and maybe he'll come for the second service. And the young man who blesses my heart, I've been discipling him, and he got a degree. And that degree broke so many chains in their family. As a grandson, the first one, you know, in that family. And this is what the Lord does. He does amazing, amazing things. And Ian has come up well in the Lord. As I've spent time with him, you know, and we just go through scripture, and we share matters life. Now, Uplifted Kingdom Glory. That is the title of the message. And the way I've outlined it, there are three areas we shall consider: the Lord of uplifted kingdom glory, secondly, the people of uplifted kingdom glory, and number three, the reign of uplifted kingdom glory. And this is a great month. It's the first day of the month of December. And this is the day, the month we receive our Lord Jesus again, and we celebrate his birthday. So it's a very, very special month as we invite the Lord Jesus in a special way to guide us through and to lead us through breakthroughs. Uplifted kingdom glory, the Lord of uplifted kingdom glory. One of the people who prayed in the Bible was Moses, and he prayed, "Lord, show me your glory." Matthew, Exodus chapter 33, you can give me on the screen. Exodus chapter 33, verse 18 and verse 19. Let this be our prayer this month. Let this be our prayer for our homes. You know, wherever we are, say, "God, show me your glory." And because God is going to answer this prayer, keep your eyes there. You know, don't shift your eyes from the glory of God. Because, you know, when you keep your eyes on the glory of God, everything else becomes small. There's this song we used to sing, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of this life will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace." He prayed and he said, "Show me your glory." And God will answer that prayer, I declare in Jesus' name. And somebody here needs to pray that prayer and say, "God, show me your glory." I want to tell you, God is very beautiful. And he is wonderful. In Revelation chapter 4, from verse 1 to 11, God shows John, the Revelator, his glory. And he's willing to show any one of us his glory. At this time, John was in prison in the island of Patmos, undergoing persecution. It was a very difficult time for him, but he found encouragement and inspiration and strength in seeing the glory of God. And God invites him to the open door, so that through that open door, he may see Jesus and see him in the fullness of his glory. And I tell you, when you see God's glory, even your circumstances, you know, circumstances no longer reign over your life, because you see the one who is king, the one is in control. And I want to say today, Jesus is on the seat, Jesus is on the throne, and Jesus is in control. Let me just read Revelation 4, verse 1 to 11, and this is one of the texts for us this year. Revelation 4, verse 1 to 11. "After this I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven, and the voice I heard first speaking to me like a trumpet said, 'Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this.'" Then in verse 2, "At once," and this is where we picked the word acceleration. When we said the watchword this year is acceleration, he's a God of suddenlies. He's able to do something suddenly. Something that has taken so long to be done. I mean, you've been waiting for so long. God can come through for you. Hallelujah. Right now I'm speaking to somebody here who has been waiting for so long. I'm saying God is coming suddenly for you in the name of Jesus. "This vision came suddenly. Everything is happening at once. He's in the island of Patmos. It's a very difficult place. And in that dark, difficult place, God will show up." I'm speaking to somebody. God is showing up. "At once I was in the spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and ruby, a rainbow that shone like an emerald encircled the throne." It's a very beautiful environment. "Surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones," quite a number of thrones, "and seated on them were 24 elders. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings and peals of thunder. In front of the throne, seven lamps were blazing. These are the seven spirits of God. Also, in front of the throne, there was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. In the center, around the throne, were four living creatures, and they were covered with eyes, and in front and in the back. The first living creature was like a lion. The second was like an ox. The third had a face like a man. The fourth was like a flying eagle. Now, this is what John, in a very difficult time of his life, begins to see. God is able to reveal himself to you. And God can come either during the day or during the night, anywhere in your office. God can show up very suddenly. When you pray that prayer, we are praying this month, show me your glory. We know that God has revealed himself through his son Jesus Christ, who became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have beheld his glory, glorious of the only Son of God. And we really want to thank God for the ultimate revelation when God reveals himself. Here John is in the island of Patmos, and suddenly in his difficult moment in terms of life, is he enters another sphere. A door is open, and then he sees. What does he see? He sees one sitting on the throne. And I want to say, God right now, our Lord Jesus Christ, is sitting on the throne. It is the same right now in the name of Jesus. Right now, he's sitting on the throne. You might be feeling like somebody else is sitting on the throne of your life, or you might be feeling as something else is ruling your life, but I want to cancel that thought in the name of Jesus. Jesus is the one who is on the throne. Let's give a hand to him. Let's appreciate him. And that fact is undergirded by this text. In the midst of difficulties, there is one sitting, and he is sitting squarely, properly on the throne. And no wonder when Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus, he prays for them that they may have a revelation of the resurrected Christ. But not just the resurrected Christ, the enthroned Christ. And so John sees Jesus sitting on the throne. But the Lamb sitting on the throne. But the second thing, apart from his presence, is the throne itself, which is king and kingdom. But also there are lights in that place. There are sounds in that place. And also there is worship in that place. It's a beautiful picture that John is seeing. And I pray that God will fill your mind with that kind of picture and you keep your eyes there. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking to Jesus, fix your eyes on Jesus, who is the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Keep your eyes there. Faith is the act of not removing your eyes from Jesus. Just keeping your eyes right there. The Lord uplifted and kingdom glory, and John is enjoying that. Jesus also took some disciples, what we call the Mount of Transfiguration, and in Matthew 17, verse 1 to verse 8, I'll also read this one. He picked up a small group, sample group from his disciples, and went up the mountain with them. And then suddenly something beautiful happened. God can change an ordinary environment into a glorious kingdom environment. God can turn the darkness of your house and the darkness in your life into a place full of light. God can change it all of a sudden. After 6 days, in verse 1, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brothers of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And we go on to study that scripture. It says in verse 2, there he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as light. Peter, just then, there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, this is my son, whom I love, and with him I am well pleased. Listen to him. Then in verse 6, when the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them and said, get up, Don't be afraid. When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. I want to say that our visitation is here and that Jesus is in our midst. I pray that God gives you a revelation of himself. These disciples got a revelation of Jesus and they saw another dimension they never saw. And Peter, leading that delegation, begins to say, we should settle at this level and therefore we shall build some tents here and stay here. In other words, forget about everybody else. But God uses that moment to affirm his son. And after that, everything else is lifted and only Jesus remains right there. I want to say that there is one who rules the nations and his name is Jesus. His name is above every name. In fact, when we read Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 to 11, give me that one on the screen. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 to 11. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And this is the Jesus we worship. He is far above principalities and rulers and hierarchy. And that is where John the Revelator is seeing him. He is seeing him as king. He is seeing him as Lord. He is seeing him as unruffled. He's seeing him as in charge. And it doesn't matter what's happening around. Jesus remains Lord. He remains King. And that is the nature of the Lord, the Lord of the uplifted kingdom. And he stays there in the fullness of his glory. So this month, as we say, as we pray, show us your glory. I want us to make the statement, ancient gates be lifted up and let the King of glory come in. It is found in Psalm 24, verse 7 to 10. We will make that statement together. Ancient gates be lifted up, let the King of glory come in. Let's say it together. I think let's just read verse 7 together as it is. Lift up your heads, you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. I have told you variously that I love dedicating homes. And when I go to dedicate homes, one of the things we do at the door, we all stand on the outside of the door, and before we cut the tape or even open the door, I normally proclaim this verse. And I say, ancient doors open, and let the King of glory come in. And once I've done that, I ask the family to open the door, and the wind of the Holy Spirit actually enters, and Jesus, the Lord and the King, enters. And I normally tell the family, Jesus is not entering to take a subservient position. He is coming in as Lord and King. He is the Lord of glory. And then I tell the family, there is a throne set up inside your house right now in Jesus' name. And Jesus is sitting there. And Jesus will sit there from now going forward. Hallelujah. And this is a prayer you can pray in your house. And you say, ancient gates be lifted up. Let the King of glory come in, so that all those opportunistic to spirits that come to cause restlessness can take off. Yesterday, I went to a home. Brother Jack, you are with me in that homestead. Just before you came with your wife, I went with the family into their house, and I read for them Isaiah 32 and verse 18. Isaiah 32 and verse 18. And I prayed three things. You know, when you ask the King of glory to come in, you know, the Bible says, my people will live in peaceful dwelling places, in secure homes, and what? Undisturbed places of rest. When you ask the King of glory to come in, he deals with all these things and makes the place a peaceful place, a secure place, and those two spirits that really disturb people inside homes, they actually get in. And so my prayer is this, that when you go back to your house, as you open that door, like John the Revelator, you will see one sitting on the throne inside your house. Hallelujah. And you will see him as Lord and King. He comes to take charge, and he comes to be the captain of that place. So this month, we pray that prayer. Show us your glory. Gates be lifted up. Let the King of glory come in. And we pray for our city also, and also our nation, and also our continent, and invite the uplifted King into those spaces. When we pray, there is a mighty visitation. And when God comes, he begins to sort out the things you cannot sort inside that home, inside that business. Some of you are business people, and God begins to sort out those things and to give you victory. But secondly, the people of uplifted kingdom glory. Not just the Lord of uplifted kingdom glory, but also the people of uplifted kingdom glory. Who are these people? First of all, they are people redeemed. These are covenant people. These are people the Lord has redeemed himself. And the redemptive process included a high price because the blood of Jesus had to be shed so that you would be purchased to become a part of the family of God. So the people of uplifted kingdom glory, these are people who are the family of God. And God has paid a high price so that you can belong and so that you can be part of the family of God. And one way we see God's glory is in the church and the way he has redeemed a people for himself. In John chapter 1, verse 9 to 16, that work was not ordinary. It was not a human work. It was a divine work. I'll just read it. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. But note now verse 12. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave them the right or the power to become the children of God. Look at how it happened. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the only Son of God, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was born before me.'" Out of his fullness, we have all received grace in place of grace already given. And so these are a people, the people of the uplifted kingdom glory are a people that God has redeemed for himself. He has redeemed for himself and he has paid a high price. I want you to know the redemptive power of God is here and very present. And this month, I'm trusting God for many salvation decisions. I'm trusting, that's my prayer. I'm trusting God for many salvation decisions because everything has been done that needs to be done for the redemption of every human being on planet Earth. And I mentioned that when I was with you, remember, in Runda, was it Runda? That place where we were together. And I talked about this redemption, the Christmas gift. Jesus is a Christmas gift. And he died so that, and he was buried, rose from the dead, so that the person who is at the farthest corners of the world would actually receive him as Lord and Savior and become part of the family of God. And that is a glorious thing. The people of uplifted kingdom glory are the family of God. And God has paid a price for them to be a family. And these are people that he has not only redeemed, but also set apart or consecrated. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. He has set them apart. And this is the part where we celebrate because you say, "I am a child of God. I'm not just a child of God. I am set apart. I am consecrated." But you're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Now, once you are not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. This is a celebration we have, and let the devil never accuse you or send some doubts in your head regarding this destiny that God has already cut out for you. And this destiny reflects the glory of God. The fact that he could take people from sin and captivity and bring them into his family. And not just bring them into his family, but also set them apart as priests. This is amazing. And so you are here. First of all, you're a child of God. And I also want you to know that God has also set you apart, which is a very, very special position. As we celebrate December, we think about Christmas. we are really thinking about the deeper things regarding that Christmas. Jesus came so that I may be redeemed, and Jesus came so that I may be set apart. Therefore, he is the God of elevation, and he lifts you from nothing, and he makes you something. You did not deserve it, yet he went down, and he picked you from down there. He went to the lowest, including the grave and even death, and picked you from there, and God has raised you up. God has put you in a place where you are a child of God now, and you are actually set apart, and you are a priest. You can discharge any ministry because God has already invested in you. This is what you call kingdom impartation, because God makes you a covenant child, and he redeems you. Impartation by redemption, impartation by choice, and by being set apart. And that makes you very, very special. And also impartation by power. Acts 1 verse 8. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. Impartation by power. So God picks up a nobody, sets them apart, makes them a part of his family, and then equips them with gracelets called gifts, and endows his gifts, you know, and his power within you, so that you can be able to become a kingdom agent in terms of serving him. The impartation that the throne is releasing in our direction is limitless. And my prayer is that you open yourself up to receive the king's impartation. So not only is he the king sitting on the throne, he's also the king extending an impartation. And today as I pray, that's what I'm trusting God. There's somebody who feels weak and feels feeble, and you feel like your background doesn't qualify you. You know, today will be your day where you say, I receive the king's impartation. And this is an anointing. It's direct. It's not by proxy. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords has stretched his hand in my direction. And therefore, I am being lifted, and I'm being set apart, and God has empowered me, and I will serve him. You remember at Pentecost, he could hold back. This impartation at Pentecost was very dramatic. And the Holy Spirit came, bang, upon very ordinary people. They had no education, fishermen, very ordinary people. And the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they start doing the king's bidding, simply because of the king's impartation. When the Lord, the king speaks, things happen. When the Lord extends his scepter like this, things happen. Do you remember the story of Esther and the favor of the king upon Esther, and how the king extended his scepter upon Esther? I am seeing a kingly impartation today. And I'm seeing God extending his kingly scepter towards somebody here. And God is going to change your narrative and change your story, and your glory will be seen on your life. There was a gentleman called Mephibosheth who felt like he was a nobody in 2 Samuel chapter 9. Verse 3 to 7. But because of King David and the impartation of that king, Mephibosheth, it's a difficult name, Mephibosheth became something. 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 3 to 7. The king asked, is there no one still alive from the house of Saul to whom I can show God's kindness? And God wants to show his kindness. Ziba answered the king, there is still a son of Jonathan. He is lame in both feet. Where is he? That's what God is asking. The king asked. Ziba answered, he is at the house of Machir, son of Amiel, in Lodibar. And I tell you, Mephibosheth is about to come from Lodibar to Jerusalem. Hallelujah. There is a Mephibosheth. Hallelujah. About to come from Lodibar to Jerusalem. So the king, so King David had him brought, and God will do anything and everything to get you to where you need to be. From Lodibar, from the house of Machir, son of Amiel. When Mephibosheth, son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came to David, he bowed down to pay him honor. David said, Mephibosheth, at your service, he replied, don't be afraid, David said to him, for I will surely show you kindness. And this is what God has done, the king is doing for us this month. I will surely show you kindness for the sake of your father, Jonathan. I will, he's another I will. I will restore to you all the land that belonged to your grandfather Saul, and you will always eat at my table. And Mephibosheth bowed down and said, You know, what is your servant that you should notice a dead dog like me? Because that's basically, he thought that was his destiny, and he had given up. He was in Lodibar. He had given up. Lodibar had become his home, his destiny. He had become familiar with it. But right now, God, who has a good plan for your life, is thinking about you. Jeremiah 29:11 says, I alone know the plans I have for you, and their plans for good and not for evil, to give you a hope and a future. And God is about to do something. He is the king. He is able. And this month, as we celebrate uplifted kingdom glory, he is imparting his glory. The glory is not just staying there where John has seen it. The glory is coming to his people. And there is an impartation, because that glory is coming to his people. And this glory is going to cover everything, I prophesy, every dimension of God's people. May God's glory touch every aspect of your life. And where glory had been lost, it had become luster, it had become rotten, and it was dying. May God's glory come back. May God's glory come back. May God's glory come back. Is somebody receiving this? May God's glory come back. God can see the Mephibosheth, and therefore this month, we celebrate him on the throne, but we also celebrate him as a God who gives his glory and also imparts his glory. And all those places where glory had departed, suddenly it begins to come. He redeems you. He sets you apart. He empowers you. He clothes you with gifts and gracelets, like the prodigal son when he's coming back to his father and he has so many torn clothes. In Luke chapter 15, he doesn't have shoes, but the father sees from very far. And he can see how beaten the son is. God can see how beaten you have been. And this month of December, God is coming through for you. Hallelujah. The glory of God. And he's going to dress you with his glory. And the prodigal son gets home, and the father just forgives him, hugs him, kisses him. And then suddenly clothes are coming, the gown, the ring, the shoes. And they are coming in quick succession. And then he says, we're going to have a party. Yesterday, I had a small party somewhere. My son-in-law is here. You bought how many goats for that party? Two. Stand up. This is my son. He's married my daughter, my son-in-law. Let's appreciate him. Today, the camera is on you. And he bought two goats so that last night we could sit under a tent and eat together. I thank God for son. As a father-in-law, I'm very happy. I'm proud of you. I say it publicly in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm really proud of him. God bless you. God expand your borders. And you can see the action of the father and the son because of the relationship. And suddenly, God is working a work of glory, removing the tattered clothes and the bad shoes and the shame and the pain that was in his eyes. And God is working a work of restoration of glory. Through Jesus Christ who died on the cross, that work of the restoration of the glory is found through the cross. And you can come there and you say, heal me, forgive me, deliver me, touch this area of my life, and a very powerful glory. So he's not only on the throne seated as an exhibit. No, there is an impartation hand, and that impartation is for his people. And I thank God that God will hold back nothing, because Romans 5:8 says, God shows his love for us in that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I want you to see a king, but not a king removed from his people. A king who is active and is doing something beautiful. This month, the glory activities will be amazing. I'm declaring something here. This month, the glory activities from above are going to be amazing. God is visiting every area of your life. I see him restoring, and I see him rebuilding. I see him bringing back that which was lost, and I see elevation power, elevation power. God lifting you from nothing, from a nobody. This month of December, I am prophesying something. God lifting you from nothing, and God bringing you up. This is the month of glory, and the King of Glory is on the throne. The King of Glory is among his people, and he's doing a great work of restoring that kind of glory. Romans 3:23 says, we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 6, Verse 23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Today, if you receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, this glory of eternal life will come upon you. And it is free because Jesus paid the price for this glory. God has stretched his hand of impartation and he has paid the highest price. Do not let it go. Receive it. Receive that impartation of glory today. 1 John chapter 5 verse 11 and 12 says, and this is the testimony, God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son of God has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. Jesus Christ encapsulates the glory released, the glory revealed, and the glory given. And that's why he became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. John 1 verse 14. And all of us have beheld his glory, glory as of the only Son of God. And so, this glory is not far. We can recover it, and we can receive it. As I'll be praying in a short while, I am asking that all those areas of your life that have darkness or something, today is a day to chase darkness away. And actually to invite, those shadows must go in Jesus' name and invite the glory of God. But I must finish and say, the reign of uplifted kingdom glory. A great assignment. Isaiah 60 verse 1 to 3. Of course, Isaiah 60 verse 1 to 7 is talking about the whole journey from restoration to reigning. The 7 verses are about you and me and how God's light and glory is restored in our lives. And then when that glory is restored, nations come to our light. There's a restorative work that happens, and we begin to reign together with Christ. Isaiah 60 verse 1 to 3. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Let me just continue. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. I'm just giving you an idea. When God's glory descends upon upon a person, and they are restored, they begin to reign. You know, in Genesis chapter 1, give me Genesis chapter 1 from verse 26 to verse 28. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 to verse 28. Thank you very much. Genesis 1, 26, 28. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Then verse 28 is very important. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, and over every living creature that moves on the ground. God created us to reign with him. And therefore, it's not God's desire or purpose that something else controls your life. That, especially drugs, you know, when you take drugs and they get the better of you and they start leading you as opposed to you being the leader, you know, you are married, you're in a family, you kind of lose control. You know, God wants to bring, part of the glory of God is his people reigning and ruling. And he wants us to be co-workers with him as we're in a place of reigning, you know. From the beginning in Genesis, that was God's intention. But then sin changed that statement and we fell short of the glory of God. I'm saying this month we are recovering our rulership position and our position of dominion in the name of Jesus. Is somebody connecting with that? Yes, you've lost charge, you've lost control. God is saying, I made you to be in charge, not to have something else be in charge of your life. And I'm returning that order as it is in the book of Genesis. When you look at Ephesians chapter 2 verse 6, you see our position now. This is the scriptural position according to God regarding you and me. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. And why does he do so? So that he can be proud about us. You know, he can brag. Even God has bragging rights. In order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. And so you are God's trophy of grace. And God is excited to show off and say, look, the work my son did on the cross has achieved the salvation of this person. And not just the salvation, they have brought them back to the place of rulership. And God wants to brag. Give God that chance to brag about your life. And so God lifts us up, causes us to sit together with Christ in the heavenly realms so that we can be even in charge of nations. Seated in terms of prayer, you can reign over cities and over nations because you know where you're sitting. And I want you to know that your position is therefore way above principalities and way above principalities and rulers, where Christ actually is. Ephesians chapter 1, as I come to a close, Ephesians chapter 1 from verse 18, give me that on the screen, to verse 23. Paul was praying for the believers in Ephesus, and he prayed, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead. You see, this is the resurrection, but also the enthronement. Both are happening here. He exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him up at his right hand in the heavenly realms. Now, far above all rule, all authority, all power, all dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in this present age, but also in the age to come, and also placed all things under his feet, and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is a body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Now, when the Bible says we have been raised to sit with Christ in the heavenlies, we have been raised above all these powers and rulers and principalities. And may I declare that the enemy cannot have an impact on you. You know, when we say Isaiah 54:17, no weapon fashioned against you shall do what? Shall prosper. Because God has already placed you in a royal position far above principalities. And it's not just royal position, but a place to reign together with him. So you are a child of God, but you are also ruling together with Christ. And so today, we celebrate the fact that Jesus is Lord. He's sitting on the throne. He's unruffled. And that position is not contested. And that's what John is seeing in the book of Revelation. But we celebrate the second point, that same glory he carries, he has passed it on to us. And we are dressed in his glory. Now, while we are dressed in his glory, then we arise and shine. We arise and rule. We arise and make a difference. We become people of influence. Matthew chapter 5 verse 14 to verse 16, talking about the light that we are and the influence that we are called to make. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it out in a stand and gives light to everyone. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So what God has invested in you in terms of gifts, in terms of glory, in terms of strengths, in terms of abilities, they are not to be put somewhere under a bushel, but put up on a table so that everybody in the house or everybody in the city can actually see this light. And therefore, as we leave this service today, I am commissioning you as carriers of God's glory. And I'm seeing lights lights going into the city because God's light is shining through you. There is a song my son sang here one time. And it moved really people. There is a candle. Carry your candle. You know? Yes, there is a light. There is a candle. You're a candle. And you can carry that candle to the ends of the earth. So I'm commissioning lights and candles. Today, I'm using that verse, arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. As we live, the whole of December is lit up in Jesus' name. And it's lit up by people carrying the glory of God. We are supposed to be people of influence. We are supposed to be the light, the salt. And everywhere we shall go, that darkness is going to disappear. And so you are a candle carrier and you're carrying the glory of God. By the way, it's also called Shekinah glory. And that glory, may it fill your temple right now. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 1. After Solomon finished praying, there was fire that came and it licked the sacrifice. And then after that, the glory of the Lord filled the temple. May the glory of the Lord fill your life. Let's all stand up now as we pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to thank you so much that you are God who is in control and that you're sitting on the throne totally unruffled and totally in charge. Sometimes, Lord, the circumstances of life cause us to look the other side, just like Peter when he was walking on water and he stopped looking at you, Jesus, and he started looking at the storm. He started sinking. Lord, help us once again to recover that position where we keep our eyes on you. And these circumstances of life distract us. Yet, God, you remain on the throne and fully in control. But secondly, we celebrate the fact today that you have imparted your glory upon each one of us. And through the precious blood of Jesus Christ, you have clothed us again with the glory. You have broken the shame. You've broken the sin. You've broken the pain. You've made us priests. You fill us with power. And now we are your servants. And we celebrate again the fact that, God, we can rule once more and reign once more and have dominion together with you. My prayer, therefore, Lord, today is that, Father, this glory that you have put upon each one of us will be seen as we leave this sanctuary. That wherever we go the whole December through Christmas, that this glory shall come forth. We shall be filled with your glory, and that glory shall come forth. The peoples of the world shall see the glory, but also this glory shall make us very attractive. Isaiah 60 verse 3, nations will come to our light and kings to the rising of our dawn. God, get us to that place where even in our businesses, clients will be attracted by the glory of God. Lord, even in the neighborhoods, people will be attracted to us by the glory, because of the glory of God. Father, favor will come in our direction because of the glory of God. Today, I'm commissioning you as carriers of God's glory. And because of this glory, God will keep elevating you among your communities, up among your neighborhoods, in your workplace. God will keep elevating you so that his glory can be seen even better, because a light is never kept down there. A light is kept up there. And God is saying, I've made you a light for the nations, and I'm lifting you up and putting you in a very special place so that this light can be seen to the ends of the earth. Father, I am commissioning glory carriers. You have clothed us with your glory through this service. Now, Lord, I'm sending forth glory carriers. And that's why I say, arise and shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Father, therefore, as we leave this church on Monday all the way to Sunday, I am seeing testimonies now coming simply because of your glory. Father, make us once again magnets, kingdom magnets, to draw the nations to yourself, but also to draw resources, like Isaiah 60 verse 1 to 7 also says, we shall be fed, we shall be served, wealth will come to us from all ends of the earth, just because we are carriers of God's glory. And so, Father, I pray that as we go forth today, anything that will come in the way of achieving this prayer, I have prayed regarding any one of us, any mountain, it is removed right now. Lord, any impediment is removed in Jesus' name. Every high thing coming in the way of your people, my God, I clear it as your servant in the name of Jesus. And I pray that you give us a wonderful, wonderful week. And you can lift your hands to God now. Father, now I declare Monday blessed, Tuesday blessed, Wednesday blessed, Thursday blessed, Friday blessed, Saturday blessed, Sunday blessed. Testimonies galore coming this coming Sunday. Hallelujah. Coming this Sunday, there will be many, many testimonies in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. And we all say, amen. Let's give another hand to the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you. And the Lord give you peace. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Now for those who will be traveling and you're not with us the coming Sundays, a beautiful Christmas. Say a Merry Christmas and a blessed 2025. God bless you. Thank you.